future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now!
What's up, Houston? Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5. ESPN 92.5. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio alongside Andrew Carlson from the Wheelhouse. He's on Twitter at Carlson Radio. Our guy Josh behind the glass on Twitter at I am J Chevy. Welcome to the bullpen, the first edition. This show is going to be the producers of ESPN 97.5, 92.5, Sean Mapes, RJ, BMAC, myself, Andrew. We'll be here every single Saturday from 12 to 2. Yes, on Twitch, we are here. The phone lines are open at 713-780-3776. What's up, dude?
I'm shocked you actually got the intro spot on there, Joe. You were worried about that.
Okay,
in.
Look, I
you
literally almost just gave out the wrong phone number. I literally almost just came out the wrong phone number.
I mean, but you went slowly, and you got through it, and hey. Off to a good start.
I went 713, and then I almost gave out the wrong phone number. I've been back at ESPN 97.5 now for 4 weeks, so we're launching the show. I'm pumped to be back at the station. I'm excited to be doing this show with you, our first one. And look, we've got so much to talk about today. We've got, of course, the Texans are always hot and heavy. The draft is almost here, kind of. It's on its way.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Young, Will Levis, CJ Stroud, defense, trading up, trading back. All of that will be talked about. But we got to start with the World Series champions, the Houston Astros. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Luis Garcia's motion has been changed. And Lance McCullers,
of course,
is hurt.
Lance McCullers watch, starting a little early this year.
Yeah, man. It is February 18th, and Lance McCullers is temporarily shut down already. It is disappointing, I think, is the first word that comes to mind right away. It's Lance McCullers temporarily shut down. Not a lot of details. We know that's how the Astros operate. They're not going to say, okay, he's going to be out for X amount of time. Maybe they don't know. But it's not where you want to start the season with Lance McCullers at all.
Oh, and the biggest thing for me is this feels like deja vu, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we went through this all of last offseason into spring training, and I remember hearing those reports. Oh, yeah, you know, we're expecting June, July, sometime in the summer, you know, he'll be back. And it all started from, you know, just these very, very vague reports. And I understand that's how the Astros operate. Dana Brown has changed that a little bit with some of his openness with the media.
It's a little more than usual.
But man, this just, it's so concerning because we've been down this road before with Lance. And the last thing that we need with this rotation as it's currently constructed, we don't have that depth to fall back on. Or the Strohs do not have that depth to fall back on that they had last season.
Yeah, look, you have six guys instead of seven, so you still have a little bit of depth. Because, you know, Hunter Brown is here. I think that's the one, you know, savior of this news right away. Mm-hmm. Like, you have Fromber, Javier, Garcia, Urquidy, Hunter Brown. Like, if you start the season that way with the Astros, I think we all still feel pretty good.
Yeah.
But you like to see Lance McCullers. And no one's saying that Lance isn't going to be ready for opening mm-hmm. day. No one's saying that he's not going to be ready for the first spring training game. But it's just not the start that you want. And it's interesting because just like last year, it kind of feels like it came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
We all, last year, after he got hurt in 2020, Yeah, 2021, in the White Sox
Correct.
Series.
Yeah.
We all kind of thought, okay, maybe Lance will be ready at the beginning of the season. But then he said himself he had a setback. Obviously, pitched, what eight starts last year mm-hmm. in the regular season, then into the postseason. And now Lance is temporarily shut down, and we don't really have a lot to go on.
Yeah, and look, this is just, I don't want to say it's classic Astros, because, look, the reality is that, you know, with the Strohs and the way that they've operated over the last few seasons, there's been an immense amount of success, and it's hard to really get upset about anything that they've done. Mm-hmm. But if there is one thing that you can critique and criticize them for, it's the way that they've sort of handled the injuries and just the way that they keep everybody in the know with what's going on.
Yeah, discomfort, their favorite word.
Oh, my God.
Now, look, Andrew, I know you're originally I'm from Chicago. Yeah. I've been in Houston for 8 years now. I know, so you're not super familiar with this, but this is for the people that don't like teams not telling them about injuries and that also want a hockey team here in Houston. Just so you know, if we ever get a hockey team, they designated their injuries by lower body and upper body, and that's all you get. So someone has a concussion and it's an upper body injury. So it could be worse.
I mean,
like, imagine if Lance McCullers was hurt and Dusty Baker just said, like, it's an upper body injury.
Look, I prefer what he's doing to that, what he's doing right now to that, absolutely. But I just like a little bit more from Dusty than what he gave us this morning.
Yeah, for sure. And let's hear from Dusty Baker. Asked again this morning for an update on Lance McCullers. Here is the skipper, Dusty Baker.
No update. You know, he just get treatment. And, you know, he's feeling pretty good. He's feeling better.
Is he shut down from throwing, or?
Just temporarily. We don't know, you know, how long. You ask me questions that really don't know about. So I know it's news and it's important news, but you know, we feel he'll be all right.
Yeah, they feel like he'll be all right. They don't want to speculate.
I'm sure they felt he'd be all right last year too.
Yeah,
at least that's the vibe they gave.
And so it doesn't look. This isn't one of those things where you panic and it's like Lance McCullers isn't going to be available this entire season. Lance McCullers isn't going to be like, it's not going to be like last year.
Right.
I mean, we hope. I guess there's a chance it could still be like last year. But I think we all go into this moment right now and we're like, okay, Lance McCullers is going to be okay at some point and he will be in the rotation. And I think it's still likely he'll be there for the first week of the season. And, you know, when they play the White Sox and whatever, like the Rangers, the Pirates, those first couple weeks, he'll be part of it. So it's not great. And it's funny, someone called him Lance DeGrom. Both these guys, Jacob DeGrom, Lance McCullers, kind of the big ticket items for their franchises now, the Astros and the Rangers, and both guys shut down with soreness already. The difference is, Andrew, is that you're not the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not relying on Jacob DeGrom to help you win this division for the first time in like a decade.
Yeah, and that's the luxury that they have, right? I understand that I mentioned earlier that there's less depth in the rotation than they had last year. Well, I mean, look, losing a Cy Young Award winner in Justin Verlander is going to do that to you. But you touched on it. They're not required to really get much of anything from Lance and they could still have an excellent rotation without him really being a piece of it for probably the majority of the season. Obviously, that's not the ideal scenario, but assuming that Hunter Brown is even remotely close to what he was last season, they're still in a prime spot. And, I mean, that's just what makes this team so special over this entire run, this dynastic run that they've been on, is this wave of numbers that they've got. And it seems like they can pull pitchers seemingly out of nowhere and create close to greatness. And it's been fantastic to watch. And I really think that as long as Lance I don't think they're going to push him too hard, but as long as they don't push him beyond his limits in the spring training, even if he has to miss a month, 2 months, as long as we're not in the situation we saw last season where, you know, he's coming back very, very late in the season, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, Joe George, Andrew Carlson. What is your level of concern for Lance McCullers? It's 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That's the text line and the call-in line as well. And, of course, we're here on Twitch. What's up, Twitchers? Is Mad Bum still playing? Is Madison Bumgarner still pitching? He pitched for the Diamondbacks last year, I think. I don't think he's going to pitch again this year. I could be wrong. If you're suggesting they go get Madison Bumgarner, I'm a hard pass.
Oh, absolutely not.
I think what you said, they're set. And now you put an interesting question as we were preparing for the show today on our doc. And you said, can we already call the McCullers contract a mistake? He's the fourth highest paid player on the team.
Yeah, by AAV, getting $17 million a year against the luxury tax cap.
It's an interesting question because, like, in any other scenario, I think the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think it's a mistake?
Because it hasn't been a mistake yet. The Astros have won 2 World Series. They've gone to 6 straight ALCSs. They keep winning the division left and right. Every time they need a guy, there's another guy. It's like, it should be a mistake, but it hasn't been. And it's just like this luxury of greatness that the Astros are has almost been like, it's okay for Lance McCullers' contract. It hasn't stopped them from acquiring any big-name players. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, we can't pay Jose Abreu because we signed Lance McCullers and he's not pitching enough. We can't pay Rafael Montero because we paid McCullers. You know, they just locked up Javier. We know they're talking to Framber Valdez. We know they're talking to Kyle Tucker. So, like, it hasn't stopped them from signing anyone. They keep winning, and they've got the depth. So it's like, on paper, it should be a mistake, but they're so damn good, it's almost not.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be an albatross by any means, because I understand fourth highest by AAV for this Astros team is a big deal, but at the same time, with some of the salaries that we're getting seen thrown around in Major League Baseball, $17 million a year against the luxury tax, I don't want to call it, you know, pennies on the dollar or anything. Like, that's a significant amount of change.
It is.
But, like, it kind of is with the way that contracts work in baseball these days. I just think, and my biggest concern with it, I'm leaning more towards mistake. I'm not there entirely yet, Joe, but I'm leaning more towards mistake just because does that impact Jim Crane at all with some of these other negotiations where he's talking about, oh, well, you know what? This investment didn't work out as much as I would have liked it to. We bought in early on a guy because they extended Lance a little bit before they needed to. And this is something we've seen the Astros do a lot with a whole host of their young players is sort of extend their contract, buy out the last couple of years of arbitration, and, you know, get them at a cheaper rate for a, you know, 4 or 5 year period. Does this dissuade Jim Crane at all from saying, hey, you know, maybe I don't want to do this nearly as much in the future? I don't think it would, but that would be my probably biggest concern is what sort of precedent does it set for Jim Crane moving forward with those sort of contracts and negotiations?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, because we know that, you know, Jim Crane doesn't really go above the 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just signed Javier, but Javier, they bought out his arbitration plus 2 years.
Right.
You know, he'll still be 30 years old when he hits free agency. It's very likely that Christian Javier, if he pitches to the extent that as well as he's been, that he signs another 5-6 year contract, you know, with the Astros, especially if Dana Brown is still here and this is his new business model and he's going to keep it rolling. You know, it's very possible that, you know, Christian Javier is locked up. You know, I know we had the report of $150 million for Framber Valdez. That's closer to $25 or $35 million a year just based on how many years he was going to get. I know there's some haggling if that's real or not. Chandler Rome said from the agent that that didn't happen. Dana Brown says they are talking to him. What's the exact timeline of when they're talking and not talking to Framber Valdez? I think it's semantics here.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Like, could it stop the Astros from keeping another guy? I think it's just if someone shows injury concerns, maybe it stops them from keeping up that guy.
No, I agree. I think that that's going to be the biggest thing. And look, we saw it with the negotiations with Carlos Correa, right? I think that the health concerns were the biggest thing for them not shelling out any extra money. And I think that they've probably been justified with that, given how his free agency went this past offseason.
ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, The Bullpen, Joe George, Andrew Carlson, Josh behind the glass. Coming up on the other side, there is one thing with Lance McCullers, one advantage the Astros have had that they really don't anymore because they paid Christian Javier. We'll talk about that next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Bullpen here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joe George, Andrew Carlson. You guys can get in here at 713-780-3776.
There
we're talking about Lance McCullers. So there's one thing, you know, Andrew, we're talking about the depth of the rotation. There's two parts of this that are concerning for me with Lance.
Okay.
We talk about the depth. We went from watching seven guys to six guys this year. If Lance is out, the amount of innings pitched by Javier and all these guys, my concern is that what happens when someone else gets hurt?
That's the biggest issue, right? Is they had so much depth last season that you didn't even have to really worry about any injuries whatsoever. Because, like, even when JV went out with the calf injury, it was just like, oh, no big deal. We're losing the Cy Young Award winner for a couple weeks, you know. We'll just plug Hunter Brown in, call him up from AAA, and he's going to excel.
Yeah, well, he's already here now.
Yeah, and so you don't really necessarily have that fallback option. And I'm guessing when Lance gets into the rotation, I would not be shocked if they stay with the six-man throughout the majority of the season, just with the way that they've liked to operate, the way that we saw them operate, and the success that we had them them operate with last season. I expect them to be in a six-man once Lance is, or assuming Lance is healthy at some point early on this season. So it will be very, very interesting to see how they deal with that. And, you know, I don't think that they're going to necessarily need to go out there and make a move or anything, but...
Who's the other guy?
It is slightly concerning that you no longer have just that wealth of fallback options that you did last season.
Yeah, for sure. That's one part, is who's the next guy? And, I mean, look,
is it going to be Bielak? Like, that doesn't inspire confidence.
Is there any chance it's Force Whitley?
Oh, man. I think that he's just a myth at this point.
I know. He's out there on the mound. I think that I saw he got rid of his changeup and he replaced it with a splitter. I don't know if that's something with his health, maybe think the change, or just working on through
stuff.
Going to
keep his body from falling apart?
Who knows? I'm on the record for about a year now that Force Whitley will never pitch in an Astros uniform outside of spring training. I hope I'm very wrong. Like, that would be the surprise of the season if, like, Force Whitley comes up and is a contributor in the bullpen or something.
I mean, that would be classic Astros, though, wouldn't it? To have somebody who's just, you know, a little bit of a reclamation project. Obviously, he's got the pedigree, given where he was drafted. I know when Luno was here, he was untouchable in some of these trades, right? You looked at some of the numbers that he was putting up in the minor leagues, and it was comparable to guys like Kershaw in his, you know, quick run through the minors to becoming a Dodger. But if you get anything out of Forrest Whitley at this point, I think it's a win.
Oh,
but it would just be
anything.
It would be the most classic Astros thing, I think, for you to have this guy where there are zero expectations at this point.
Like, and then now we finally...
Now you finally get to realize just a tiny little bit of that potential. And it would not shock me at all if he gets hurt for the entire year, but it also equally would not shock me at all if we see him, like you mentioned, in some sort of bullpen role late in the season.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't stun me at all. And the other thing that is, I think the biggest difference between this season and the last two seasons in terms of the bullpen is that Christian Javier has now gotten paid. At this point, and I said this going into last season, I was over, I was done with the idea of Christian Javier. He's too nasty. He's too good. He's a Cy Young candidate. He's too good to be going from the rotation to the bullpen to the rotation to the bullpen. This song and dance, they kept going with him. It was driving me nuts. Well, now that you've paid this guy, he's 100% not going to be doing that anymore. He's just a starter. So with Lance's injury, when he comes back, if you do go to a five-man, who's going to be the guy that's going from the bullpen to the rotation like Javier was in the past? The easy answer is Hunter Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But do I want, as a fan, as a media member, do I want to watch Hunter Brown be the guy that is, as this rookie of the year candidate, going from the bullpen to the rotation to the bullpen to the rotation? Christian Javier did it flawlessly. Can Hunter Brown? That's a tough question.
That would be a very, very tough ask of someone who
big time
has essentially been a starter his entire time up through the majors. And I understand that he played a small bullpen role once they got to the very end of the last regular season and into the postseason. But this is someone, if he fulfills the expectations that you have for him, I don't think you need to be playing around with his development like that. Like, he is someone who is young enough and who has a long enough track record from what we've seen in the minors that he needs to be starting. Like,
big time.
You cannot. And I think Christian Javier is a very unique case in the fact that it seemingly did not impact him at all going from the bullpen back
crazy.
To rotation. And there are very, very, very few players in the majors who can deal with that sort of treatment and just do it as well as Christian Javier did, where, you're coming out from the bullpen? All right, here's, three flawless innings to put out a fire here in the middle of this game. Oh, you're starting? Here's five shutout innings to start the game. Six shutout innings to start the game with 11, 12 Ks. The number of people that can do that in the majors, you can probably count on a single hand.
Well, the thing I hate about Javier, too, with Javier's role in that, more in 2021, was that he was in the bullpen, but because he was stretched out as a starter, he was still only pitching every 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like you were wasting a bullpen spot. And it was like he either just has to be in or out. Like, you just got to make a decision. Like, if he's only going to be pitching every 5 days, he's got to be in the rotation.
Right.
And that, to me, was like the big issue. So what do you think about Hunter Brown this year?
I think that he should be getting, ideally, 20, 25 starts at least. I mean, that would be my goal, is to sort of relax him into the rotation a little bit. And I think that given what we saw from him last season, I know the control was iffy at points, but I think by the end of the year, he should be, you know, in the platform where he is your number three, number four starter, just given the pure stuff. Now, obviously, that can change, you know, whatever we see in spring training and as this regular season develops. But what I saw from him last season was just so, so impressive in the limited sample size that we got.
I'll never get over these side-by-sides with him and JV.
Oh, it looked incredible.
It's bizarre. Like, it's just – and Hunter Brown, I was looking at – I think it was FanDuel or DraftKings had him as the third favorite to win Rookie of the Year this year. I think that's a good bet.
100%.
Like, especially with this lineup, the amount of wins he can rack up, if he goes five innings, like with how many runs they should score this year, Hunter Brown should be all over the place for W's.
Yeah. I mean, like, if he doesn't get double-digit wins, I don't want to – I mean, obviously, we're not judging a pitcher on wins. I know that we're in 2023, and we don't do that anymore. But I think that if he is not getting to at least 10 wins this season,
yeah,
it's fair to call his rookie season a failure.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, obviously, like, there could be, like, extenuating circumstances,
yeah, course,
when you look at it,
course,
on the back,
yeah,
end. But I think, like, looking into the season, I think that's a very fair bar to set for him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, who was some of these guys? I mean, Justin Verlander had a little bit where he'd have, like, a dominant start.
Mm-hmm.
Give, like, one run, he'd lose. Like, those things happen. I mean, even Fromber. Remember, what, 25 straight quality starts last year?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go 25-0. Like, in some of those starts, he was giving up two runs. It's just baseball's weird.
Yeah. I mean, but if Hunter Brown starts, you know, 25, potentially 30 games, like, I think it's a realistic expectation for him to set the bar at, you know, 10 wins.
Yeah.
And look, if you're the Astros, what more could you really ask? I mean, this is why we're so spoiled as fans of this team. And it's people in the city who support the Stros, because you're out there, you're talking about your number five, potentially like number six starter, depending,
yeah,
on where he comes in the rotation.
Rookie
right
of the year.
You're saying rookie of the year, minimum 10 wins. You're probably thinking a sub-4 ERA, something in like the 350, 375 range.
Yeah.
And, you know, just another day at the office for the Astros.
It's the gifts and like the excess of just like success that the Astros have had is bizarre. I think one of the most interesting things that Dana Brown has said so far was the other day, I can't remember who was talking to him, but he challenged Drew Gilbert,
mm-hmm,
their first-round pick last year, to compete for the center field spot. Like, and I know we'll get to that a little bit later in the show about, you know, McCormick, Jake Myers, Pedro Leon's hurt, so he's kind of out of it at this point. But Dana Brown is challenging Drew Gilbert to push to be on the major league roster this season.
And if that happens, I will be absolutely stunned, by the way. I think that Drew Gilbert is an excellent prospect, and he's someone who is more ready-made, given that he played for multiple years at Tennessee. So you should expect him to be fast-tracked through the minors to the major league level. But saying
this year
we expect him to compete, I love the job that Dana Brown has done in his very limited time
thus far.
But I
like the challenge.
Oh, absolutely. And look, that's what they did in Atlanta, right? That's exactly what they did, is they fast-tracked some of these guys through the minor leagues to the major league level when they thought they were ready to play and ready to contribute at the big league level. And that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is like Michael Harris probably.
That would have been my exact comparison.
Is that Drew Gilbert comes up, if he has success, Dana Brown might just pay him, like, which is awesome. Like, I love the way the Atlanta Braves have operated, locking up their core for years and years. And most of these guys have signed some of the worst contracts in baseball. Like Ronald Acuña Jr., his contract is a travesty to him. Like how good
it's
he
ridiculous.
Is
it
and
is
how
ridiculous.
Much money he's making, it is absurd. I mean, you know who else is like that? Jordan.
Yeah.
One thing I'll give James Click credit for. He is...
Well, Jim Crane would probably take credit for that one, given what we know about the negotiations.
Woefully underpaid. Like, I think it's like it peaks out at like $19 million. There is no way Yordan Alvarez is only worth $19 million a year. He's one of the best five players in all of baseball. Like, it's locking up guys like that is something the Astros have done well. You know, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Dana Brown spent a lot of time talking about these guys this week, extending them again, making sure they finish their careers with the Astros. Bregman's contract is really just huge. I think it's this season. I think it's like $34 million, something like that. Like it balloons up, which is there's a lot of expectations for him with that. But look, it's why baseball is such a miraculous sport that like you have some guys like Alvarez who are
woefully underpaid, and then you have Kyle Tucker fighting over $2.5 million.
How the world works in baseball,
it's,
man.
It is the most bizarre sport out there that, like, some guys just get lucky. You know, think about Drew Gilbert. He's the perfect example. If he, let's say he crushes it this year, and Dana Brown just says, screw it, calls him up, puts him in center field. It's the polar opposite of George Springer, who, like, was ready forever. And that's even before my time here in Houston, really. And everyone knows he's ready, and he's just sitting there. He's just waiting and waiting and waiting. It just depends on how lucky you get.
You think we're going to get any of these guys locked up with the Astros here in the near-term future, spring training into potentially into the season?
It's an interesting question. Who will the Astros lock up before the start of the season? Tucker, Fromber, Altuve, Bregman. Is there anyone else we're missing? We'll talk about that next. He's Andrew Carlson. I'm Joe George. It's the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Does that cough button not work?
No, the cough button works. It was just we were back from break already, so I assumed were ready to go.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to make sure you were ready
to go. The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Look, it's a new studio for me. I've never been in here before. I've walked in. Or sat down. I'm Joe George. He's Andrew Carlson. Kyle Tucker, the biggest. Well, I guess him and Fromber are pretty close on, like,
they're 1A, 1B.
Yeah, like, it's pretty much. I guess, like, we'll start here. If you had a preference between those two to lock up to, you know, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever your wildest dream of long term contract. If you could only pick one guy of the two, who would you pick?
I have a slight lean towards Tucker if we're talking like a long-term, any, it doesn't matter, it's going to get done sort of deal, just because of the fact that given the way that this organization has operated during this run, it feels like they've been able to pluck pitchers from, you know, off the street and magically turn them into guys who have sub-4 ERAs and are capable of going out and winning games in big moments. I think that the way that they've developed talent over the time, Tucker is probably a little bit more irreplaceable than Fromber is. But at the same time, I don't know if I can really say that because Fromber was elite last year. You know, he broke the record for consecutive quality starts. So, I mean, look, this is another part of those embarrassment of riches that we keep talking about. But I think I have a slight lean towards Tucker, but very, very slight.
You know, it's interesting because the guy, I can't remember his last name, but I think it's Omar or something. He is the scout that founded most of these guys in, like, the Dominican Republic, these pitchers. He's now with the Miami Marlins. You know, you have Dana Brown, who the Braves have a pretty good track record. You have Max Fried. You know, they went out, they've gone older, getting Charlie. You know, like, they've gotten good pitching, but not to the level of success, I think you would say, with the Astros.
I don't think anyone's had the level of success with the Astros. Holding anyone against that standard, I think, would be a little difficult.
Yeah, so, like, is it harder to replace a pitcher or an outfielder? It's tough to say because, like, I think I'd rather pay. Like, let's say, let's look at it from this perspective. If they're both free agents and you can only sign one, but in turn you're going to sign a veteran in that category.
At the other spot, okay.
Would you rather be looking in the, you know, a 3 to 4 year deal for, like, a Jose Abreu, like, right fielder or a starting pitcher in the long term? I think the answer is the right fielder.
I agree.
Like, I think it's easier to find bats in free agency. So, like, that's where I think my answer is Tucker, but it's tough.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If we're talking, hey, you need to find a replacement for one of these players tomorrow, I think it would be significantly easier to do that for Kyle Tucker than it would be for Fromber Valdez. But in that same token, like, if we're talking locking up someone 7, 8, you're like, this is obviously just hypothetical.
Yeah.
Like, Wonderland sort of scenario. the defense that Tucker provides, the way that he's improved across his time in the big leagues, just as very slight lean towards him. But.
Well, I'll say this. I think, and before we hear from Kyle Tucker and Chandler Rome, who was on the Wheelhouse yesterday, I think this is the last offseason in which you're going to be able to extend Kyle Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
I am, Andrew, a little insight here. Sometimes I've been told that I have bad takes.
I've been told that you're a hot take artist occasionally.
I don't think that's necessarily fair, but we're about to dip our toes into the water here a little bit.
How far are we dipping?
I think Kyle Tucker will finish top three for MVP this season.
Ooh, okay.
I think that with the rule changes that are in place, the banning of the shift, the expanded bases that we have, Kyle Tucker is going to be pushing 40-40. Like, I don't know if he'll get there, but I mean, look at his stolen base numbers last year. And now, like, you change the pickoff rules where you can only throw it twice. The third time, if you don't know this, so you can throw two pickoffs to one guy while he's on first base. That third time, if you don't get it, it's a balk, and they get second base automatically. So you're not really going to see that third pickoff attempt, right? So with that, the bigger bases, you're going to see a lot more movement in baseball. And I think Kyle Tucker's going to be the biggest beneficiary of that. He's a Gold Glove caliber. He just won the Gold Glove.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be right there again this year. But now with the shift gone, like, how many times does Kyle Tucker ground out to the second baseman that's standing in right field, like where Altuve always stands? And I know there's some talks that how some teams are going to handle this, which is absurd, is they're going to take their left fielder and put him in between the first baseman and second baseman in the outfielder, and their center fielder is going to be covering, like, all that left side of the field.
That would be hilarious to watch in practice.
First of all, if they do that with the Astros, that's the dumbest idea ever. Could you imagine Yordan Alvarez basically being an infielder?
Oh, my God.
I hope to God they do not do that.
That would be obscene to watch. I pray that we do not see it.
But I
that.
Hope the Yankees do it, and they put, like, Giancarlo Stanton right there, because he's going to get eaten alive by ground balls. So, like, I really think, like, with Kyle Tucker, you know, with these rule changes and just how good I think he is, I think he's going to be right there, honestly. Like, I think you could see a world in which, like, Kyle Tucker, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Julio Rodriguez, that's your final four.
That's an impressive prediction, Joe. I mean, so we look at where he was last year, 30 home runs, 25 steals. So you're saying you think he's going to be pushing 40-40?
At least 35-35.
Okay. That I can get behind. I
mean, have you seen these bases?
No, I mean, yeah, the bases are massive.
They look like pizza boxes.
The bases are massive. I think that between the bases and the, you know, new pickoff, step-off rules, disengagement rules, whatever MLB wants to call them, he's going to be more aggressive on the base pass. And I think that everyone's going to be more aggressive on the base pass.
I think we might see Altuve be more aggressive again, finally.
I would love to see that. I think that he is probably just past that point in his career, because he still runs, but he only runs in key moments now.
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing. Is he's aggressive, but only when it's, hey, we really need to push you up or advance a base here or there. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's an outlandish take, but I don't think it's so outlandish that you should be blasted for it.
Yes.
Like, I think it's one of those
that's
where
fair.
It's like, it's just a high-end optimistic sort of take. It's not something that's so crazy that there's no chance of it happening. Because, I mean, the dude hit 257 last year, and you have to imagine that with the shift gone, like you mentioned,
yeah,
Kyle Tucker is going to feast on some of these like at-bats that he's going to have.
And there was something weird going on. The whole, like, glove, no glove thing that was happening all the time, where he would, like, wear his gloves for a little bit, and then he would be on a cold streak, so he would take them off, then he would put them back on. It was, like, he you could tell last year, like, his swing wasn't perfect to his liking, and he still went 30 home runs. Like, he still hit 257. So, like, I just think he's that caliber of a player that he can be, like, I think he can really be the best player on this team as a whole package. Like, because his defense, Yordan Alvarez's defense will never come close to Kyle Tucker, right? Yordan Alvarez's speed will never come close.
Right.
And, like, if Alvarez hits 40 home runs and Tucker hits 30, but Tucker has 30 stolen bases.
Wins the Gold Glove again.
Like, it's honestly, it's the best, I think, the best corner outfielders in the sport. Like, I don't know if there's a team that.
I wouldn't disagree at all.
Because, like, when Stan's hot, there might be an argument for Judge and Stanton.
I mean, Judge was playing in center a lot of last
That's
year.
That's true.
So,
like, but, like, he'll be in right field this year because they'll have Harrison Bader. Right. But, like, so there might be an argument for the Yankees. There's an argument. Sorry, I'm dying. There's an argument for no one else. Let's hear from Kyle Tucker. Here's Tucker talking the last couple days about the potential of a long-term extension with the Astros.
I've always told him I'm always open to talk. You know, I enjoy playing here, playing for the fans, playing in Houston, playing, you know, with the guys in this locker room. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Could you see, based on what you've heard so far, could you see something happening this year before spring training during the season? How do you look at that?
I mean, I don't want to, like, guarantee anything, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm here regardless, you know, this year, next too. So, you know, unless something changes, but, you know, as of right now, I'm just trying to focus on the season, get ready, and, you know, try and run it back.
Didn't like the tone of that last bit of the statement there. I'm here regardless, unless something changes. That was not the best end of that cut that I could have hoped for.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's – I don't see a scenario in which anything changes.
No, I don't either, but that's just the tone of that. And I understand that that's sort of just who Kyle Tucker is. He's very, you know, low-key in a lot of these press scenarios that we see him in. But
it is interesting. I actually – one thing with baseball that, like, I'm always surprised about is that even if you're a great team, sometimes I'm surprised you don't see teams bail – on superstar talents when they know they're not going to be able to keep them, even if they're good. Like, you know, like obviously with the Nationals, like, they bailed on Juan Soto because they knew they weren't going to be able to keep him. But, like, I would never suggest this, but, like, if you know Kyle Tucker's leaving, like, I'm surprised teams don't try to get a haul for them before they just walk out the door. Your fan base would revolt.
Oh, and it's just so much harder to do that when you're in the position the Astros are in, too.
Yeah.
Like, when you're competing for a World Series title or hoping to compete for a World Series title every season, it's so much more difficult to just sort of punt on a guy and say, hey, I know you're a key contributor, you know, 30-30, Gold Glove winner, but it's just so hard to sell that and say, hey, we're still trying to be competitive.
Yeah, well, look at the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Red Sox tried it. They traded Mookie Betts. Like, they just won a World Series. They got rid of Mookie Betts because they knew they weren't going to be able to keep him. And how'd that work out? They stink. They're probably the worst team in the AL East this year. Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think it's pretty – I think Baltimore – I was disappointed. Like, of the outside perspective, I was the most disappointed with Baltimore's offseason. They were so good last year. Like, they were pretty good. And they did nothing this offseason. Like, I thought Baltimore was going to take, like, that next step and push the Yankees a little bit. It just didn't happen. We'll hear from Chandler Rome. He was on the Wheelhouse in the next segment. Of also, how much money you spend on haircuts? Jalen Rose said you need to spend a minimum of $100 on haircuts. That might be the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Maybe not. We'll talk about that next year on the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5, the Bullpen, Joe George, Andrew Carlson, Josh behind the glass. You guys can get in here at 713-780-3776. How much you spending on haircuts? We'll get to that in a second. But first, Chandler Rome was on the Wheelhouse yesterday. Here's Chandler Rome saying why extending Kyle Tucker or Framber Valdez won't be nearly as easy as Christian Javier.
You know, I say there's always a chance, but I will say this. I think it's going to be a lot harder to extend either of those guys than it was to extend Christian Javier, just given, you know, the track record, the longer track records of success both Framber and Tucker have had, the seasons that they had last year, the accolades they had, both made the All-Star team. Tucker won the Gold Glove. Framber won the All-Star game, you know, had a 26 straight quality start, started the game, started the World Series clincher. It's going to take more years. It's going to take more money. It's not going to be as easy as they did with Javier, but I mean, there's always a chance. I don't want to put a percentage on it, but you know, it's not going to be as simple as the hobby as they made the Javier extension look.
Yeah, and I think that's what we all are aware of, that, like, it's just not going to be simple. And, like, let's say I'm right, that Kyle Tucker has an MVP-ish type season. If you don't lock him up now, like, there's no way, no way that he signs next offseason.
Yeah, especially the way that the Astros have handled these negotiations, or we've seen them handle these negotiations under Jim Crane, if he has a season like you're expecting him to, where he's an MVP caliber player, I think he prices himself out of coming back to the Astros, frankly. Just the way that we have seen this team work over the past few years. I think that he is looking for a contract, or he will be in that scenario. He will be looking for a contract that Jim Crane just simply, to this point, has not shown that he is willing to give out. And if that's the case, that would be extremely, extremely disappointing. But at the same time, like we just talked about last segment, if need be, we feel like he's a little bit more replaceable than Framber Valdez might be in a short-term scenario.
Yeah, because I think, you know, and this is where I know people like push back and get upset when we say, or when they see like the national media get, or the rankings, that the Astros don't have a good farm system. It's not great, right? Like, if Tucker leaves, like, yes, in theory, Drew Gilbert could just be like that next guy, because there's just been this next guy mentality constantly.
Yeah, for years.
You know, it was Correa, then it's Peña. It was, you know, Springer, then it was Tucker. It was anyone in left field, then it was Jordan and Brantley, like who you signed. Like, and the pitching rotation is the same thing. Like when Cole, Greinke, Verlander, all these guys leave, there's always someone else. It runs out at some point.
You come to the end of the line at some point. I think we're pretty close to hitting that point with the Astros.
And that's why it's important to lock these guys up, because this is where you're getting close to the punishment from the sign stealing scandals where it hurts you. Not having those draft picks those 2 years, like this is kind of the point where it's like you don't have like that next wave. You should have three Drew Gilberts. You have one because you didn't have draft picks those 2 other years. And that's what kind of hurts you in the short future that Dana Brown can fix. He said like one of his first days, like he has to nail the draft. Like it's the most important thing for him because the farm system's depleted.
Yeah, and it's non-negotiable.
And here's the other thing too. You don't suck, so you're not getting the top prospects. Like you don't have the first pick in the draft. You're not getting Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson like the Orioles are. You're not getting a Julio Rodriguez. Like you're not drafting Carlos Correa with the number one pick because you have the 30th pick. Like it's just math.
Well, I mean, that's why Dana Brown was brought in, right? Because he has experience excelling in exactly that sort of scenario where, hey, these guys aren't exactly the cream of the cream of the crop, but he's done a fantastic job over his time with the Atlanta Braves, scouting and finding them and, you know, fast tracking them to the majors so they can immediately contribute at that big league level.
All right. So Josh brought this to our attention. I saw this flying around on Twitter. Here's Jalen Rose talking about how much money you should be spending on a haircut minimum.
The minimum you're supposed to be spending for a quality barber is $100. I'm here to defend the sanctuary that is called Barbers and Beauticians. You know, so many guys and people out there think y'all going to show up and get a fly haircut and y'all going to spend $35. Y'all going to go to the end of the line. Y'all going to hit up y'all barber. They're going to send you to the voicemail. You'll have a 1 o'clock appointment. You're going to get there at 1 o'clock and somebody going to be sitting in a chair.
That is like the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
I can't even like fathom. Like it doesn't even cross my mind spending three figures on a haircut.
No, okay. First of all, we got some problems up top here, okay? There's a reason why we got a hat on. There's a chunk missing in the middle that, like, I'm hoping my guy, Joel Blank, is going to get the hookup on to fix it. I know that's been a problem here at the station for a couple guys. They've got it taken care of. I joined that group.
Jake looks great.
Joel looks great. There's one other guy who, like, might be a godfather, looks great. I don't know how public it is. So, like, he looks great. I'm missing a middle spot. So, like, I'm going to Sports Clips, getting the $25 with the shampoo because there's so little hair, it doesn't matter for me to spend it. But when I did have hair, I think I remember going to this barbershop in Chicago, and I think I probably, like, went, like, 50. Like, at most?
So your barbershop over, like, salon type. You were only going to barbershops back in the day when you had to?
Look, I've always just kind of been, like, a Sports Clips guy. Like, I've been a buzz cut, like, almost my whole life.
Okay.
But, like, there was a chunk of time where I went to try to up the game a little bit and was willing to spend a little more money. And, you know, it's not just, like, there's beer. like in the fridge, like they give you while you're getting your hair cut. So I was willing to go like 50. Now, if he's saying including, does this include tip?
I'm guessing it's just for the service itself. Like, I don't know how many stories you've heard about these NBA barbers. Then but it's really,
but see, that's the difference. Like $100 for someone of his caliber of living, that isn't that cheap, probably?
I mean, I don't know if it's cheap necessarily, but it's definitely cheaper than it would be compared to whatever we're spending on here. Like for me, I spend $50 on my haircut, and usually I tip $10, so that comes out to $60. And you know, you get the full service, you get the face massage and
the whole package,
hot towel, yeah, and everything, and that comes with the $60. So I feel like it's money well spent.
Sure,
but I just can't even imagine. For me, that's a decent chunk of change,
Josh. Like,
for me, I felt very triggered listening to that audio because I'm somebody who actually pays $35 with my barber and I could book an appointment with them. I don't have to worry about anyone being in the chair at that time. And funny enough, the barber in the chair that is next to my barber, I will say he does charge $100, just like what Jalen was saying, and he has a very specific clientele. The clientele that he has, great. And I will say, looking at the quality of haircuts, I say to myself, you know what? I would only spend that amount of money the day I'm getting married. Other than that, these $35 haircuts are more than getting the job done.
Okay, I think that makes some sense. Now, first things first. I'm the only one of the three that's married. When you do get married, do not get your haircut the day of your wedding. I did not. I went the day before because you got to have a backup plan. Because what if your barber's had a bad day? What if he makes a mistake?
Oh, you can't make a mistake there.
Because then you've got 24 hours to find someone else to fix it. But like you can't go day of. Because then you're in a bad spot if they make a mistake. Someone here on Twitch said, maybe if I was getting a full razor shave with towel, all maybe 100. And that's different. Like the old school, like the blade, you're shaving it. Like I get it then. But just for a haircut?
I don't know if I get it even then. Like that. So you're telling me you would spend, $50-$60 on a haircut, and then that shave is worth $40?
I haven't had a baby face since, like, it's been like 5-6 years since I've had a clean face. So definitely not for me. Like I don't shave my face anymore. Yeah. I've always got some kind of beard going on. So it's like no for me.
If you're getting the beard lined up in addition to the hair, then maybe I can conceive of a world where you can spend $100 on a haircut.
Penny here on Twitch says, I'm up to 40 every other Friday. First of all, you're getting your haircut every other Friday? Josh is looking at me like I'm an idiot.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is with certain people, they need to get lined up before they go out for their activities on the weekend. Like, I have the type of hair where I don't need to do that necessarily. I can just throw some product in there and go on my way. But, like, if you're Jalen Rose, you need those lines to be crispy all the time.
He's on television.
And, look, there are a lot of people that feel the same way about, their weekend activities. The same way that Jalen Rose would feel about being on TV. I'm in the spotlight. There are people out here in Houston and probably across the United States who probably feel the exact same way.
Man, that's not my wheelhouse. Like, I could not, even if I do magically get my hair to grow back, I could not imagine spending $100.
Oh, no chance.
Now, last question here. Do we think this is because the barber's coming to him?
I think that's part of it. Like, these NBA guys, like I mentioned just a second ago, they'll fly these dudes out. Like, if somebody's on the road and they need a trim, they will fly their barber to whatever city they are on the road at and, like, just have their barber cut their hair in the hotel or whatever.
Yeah. Well, like, I think it was a Houston barber. I could be wrong. No, I think I'm wrong. I think it was a Houston barber that was selected for the bubble. That, like, it was, like, someone here, and maybe it was more than just him, but, like, I think there was a local guy that got flown to the bubble during the COVID season.
And he just cut everybody's hair.
And he just cut everybody. First of all, I bet you that guy got paid big
time. Oh, well, I'm sure.
Like, half the NBA's there just lining people up all the time. I couldn't imagine. 713-780-3776, how much you spending on a haircut? You can text us or call us or hit us up on Twitch at ESPN97. Five. The Texans. The draft is on the way. I have questions for Andrew. This is our first show together. Is he team Will Levis, team Bryce Young, team CJ Stroud, team something else? As long as you're not team Davis Mills, we're fine. We'll talk about it next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.